Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us again for a basic conversation. I have the privilege, once again, to sit across from our theologian, Father Jim Basic. And for the last, I don't know how many episodes, 12 episodes or so, we have been focusing on high-impact theologians.
Yep. That's a good way of saying it. I like that.
High impact.
That the theologians made a difference in the world.
Yeah. Yes. And today we're going to focus on Paul Tillich.
Yep.
So what do we need to know right out of the gate about theologian Tillich?
Yeah. His family relationships. His father was a Lutheran pastor, very conservative, very a harsh message and, moralistic and so on. And
stern in demeanor.
Yeah. And his mother was a kind, tender lady. And so he had to maneuver between all of that. And his mother died in late teenage, and it was a trauma for him to lose his mother. It produced in him anxiety. Angst, the German word for angst. It's important to distinguish anxiety or angst from other kind of problems that we would have, worries and so on. Angst is a broad term. We need to talk about various forms of angst, anxiety, because that's what he's dealing with. So we're dealing with Paul Tillich as a theologian of culture. He was in the Second World War and was, it affected him deeply, put him into terrible anxiety. It's interesting the way he overcame that after the war. He was conscripted into the Nazi war machine and so on and saw horrendous things. And he overcame it by visiting art museums. He's a pioneer of what we today calls art therapy. So there was a Botticelli Madonna that he went and affected him. And he visited the museums purposefully to go and find healing for the anxiety that the war had produced in him. And so one way of getting at this whole thing is with the anxiety in the background. He's always trying to figure out, what do you do about anxiety? Well, let me flush that a little. So he saw three major types of things that produce anxiety. One is death. We're always going to be anxious about death. You know, how do we face our death? How do we accept what God has given us? The other thing is guilt. Anxiety over guilt, over sinfulness, like people are that's what his father preached as a Lutheran. I must say, fill in, he didn't get along with his father, but they had important conversations, theological, philosophical conversations that were influential on him. And he himself then became a Lutheran pastor, following in his father's footsteps. Even though his father represented a brand of Christianity that he intuitively rejected, I think, because of the influence of his mother. So there's anxiety over death, anxiety over sinfulness of guilt, and anxiety over meaninglessness, anxiety that the world doesn't make sense, that I can't find meaning in this world, that this world is like a tale told by an idiot. You can't make sense out of it. And so you end up feeling alone, isolated, unable to find meaning. So in a lot of these theologians, you find it like Martin Buber, for example, others, the quest is to, in a chaotic world, modern world, where traditional faith is challenged in many ways, you end up saying, well, does it all make sense? Mm. I feel at loose ends. I feel like I'm Nietzsche talked about it. Well, it's like the sun. The earth is unchained from the sun. We don't know up from down. That's Friedrich Nietzsche describing angst, the kind of angst that Paul Tillich is talking about, a sense of meaninglessness. So he, all his life, was struggling to overcome this angst. He was a very passionate person. People tell stories about his influence on students. He had a great love for women, and many women were attracted to him. And so a lot of his personal stories have to do with how he managed those kind of... His wife, Hannah, was a lodestone for him throughout his life. She was a constant support, stayed with him despite his problems and despite his ways with women and so on. So now we're listening to him as a theologian of culture. So he saw three main ways that religion and culture interact. Okay? You with me?
I'm with you.
Yeah. The first is where religion controls culture. This would be the world of Christendom that actually existed in the Middle Ages and beyond, up into the modern world, where the church sort of ruled the culture. Catholic Church was powerful. It was financially powerful. It was politically powerful. We used to call that Christendom. Christendom. So Christendom would be an example of the religion taking over the culture. Then, the thing that started with the French Revolution and beyond, modern industrialization, where the culture became totally secularized. In other words, religion was pushed to the margins. Religion had anything to do with culture. We don't want the church meddling in politics. We don't want the church, we want to get rid of the church. We want to push it to the margins so that this world can develop on its own terms. So that started the whole secularization movement. You know, some of the French intellectuals thought that if we get rid of the church, then everything will be fine. Then human beings will rationally control the world and make the world a better place through reason and science and so on. Well, Tillich felt that approach lacked depth, that approach left people feeling lonely, out of touch with the deepest realities. It didn't allow for people to have fundamental meaning, to have belief in God. That once that was out, you ended up people floundering around and really coming up with that third anxiety, which is that, well, life is meaningless now. You know, if the soul totally secularized. And then there's the third way that he thought there should be interaction, that where culture and religion had a fruitful dynamic relationship where culture could flourish on its own and had its own autonomy and could develop politically and economically. But religion would have the job of giving the culture what he called an ultimate concern. That religion would help people in a culture to find deeper meaning, to find something to drive them to be better people, to some sort of moral compass to try to follow their better instincts. So he thought that he put it together. So in his great book, three volumes, Systematic Theology, really an amazing achievement, much criticized these days, I might say. But in that book, he thought that he structured the whole book around this. The culture proposes questions, and religion gives the answers. Hmm. That's how he saw it. We call that the method of correlation. His method of correlation theoretically was the culture provides questions and the religion gives you answers based on ultimate concern. I was always critical of that approach. It was contrasted with my mentor, Karl Rahner, who said, it's not that simple. The culture sometimes has answers. I always like to say the Brooklyn Dodgers integrated before, in 1947 with Jackie Robinson, before many churches integrated. Many corporations have women CEOs, while the church doesn't have women bishops or people of control. So sometimes you can, it's not so simple, in other words, that the culture provides question to religious. In practice, Tillich knew that and tried to learn from the existentialist philosophers and so on. So that was sort of a threefold typology for how he structured all of this.
Going back to the anxiety piece, there was a quote that you highlighted in the chapter of the book about Paul Tillich, and it said, religion can be viewed as courage that embraces anxiety while accepting the power of God to forgive and save us.
Oh, love it. Say it again, Brett.
It's powerful, yes. Religion is the courage that embraces anxiety while accepting the power of God to forgive and save us.
Yeah, it says a lot in that. Well, you picked out a good quote out of the book for sure. So you notice how he brought up anxiety,
right?
Always fundamental. How the heck do you deal with anxiety?
A common element for all of us.
Yes. I think it speaks to modern people. I mean, anxiety over death. You know, can't accept it, and so on. One of the statements is that Tillich knew that in many ways we are incomplete and we are not acceptable. We're not as good as we'd like to be, and so on. But he would add, but that's acceptable because God loves us as we are. I love Pope Francis on all of this. I mean, he speaks so simply about that we're weak creatures, sinful creatures. But that's not a cause for despair or anxiety. That's a cause of joy. It enables us to deal with reality as it is, which is always limited and finite, and with our own abilities, which are never as good as we'd like them to be. But that's okay.
Right.
I'm okay, you're okay. I'm not, I always say that there was a book, I'm okay, you're okay. I always say, I'm not okay and you're not okay, that's okay. It's one thing I know for sure, I'm not okay and you're not okay, but in God's eyes, that's okay. Hmm. It allows us to accept ourselves on those terms.
Right. Let me, can you comment on one of Tillich's point about religion of the heart versus public religion?
Yeah. So he did make that distinction for sure. He was a great critic of institutional religion. Take the second part. The church. He always talked about the Protestant principle. For him, the Protestant principle from Luther and Calvin and so on was to criticize religion, to criticize the claims, to see through ways in which religion can be demonic. So religion, for some people, religion has made them neurotic, overly guilt, feeling guilty when there was no reason to feel guilty, so that you have to be able to rise above that. So institutional religion, he wanted to critique it. He was happy to say religion's done good things. It's helped to heal people and so on, and produced orphanages and hospitals and helped people make good marriages and everything. But there is a demonic tendency that the Protestant principle alerts us to demonic forces in religion. And that's what captures many feelings of many people today who say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not a churchgoer.
Hmm.
You know,
right.
I'm spiritual, but I don't like institutional religion. That's a common frame today because they associate the institution with repression, now with sex abuse. That's been a major problem that produced anxiety among people, and Catholic people especially. So we have to overcome all of that. Let's get back to that, what religion supplies positively. It gives us a moral compass to guide us in life. It assures us that the journey we're on will have a happy conclusion, that we're heading on a journey so that death is not just anxiety producing, but death is transformation into a better and richer way of life. So Tillich has a strong sense of the ultimate concern. He likes to distinguish preliminary concerns from ultimate concerns. So it's a preliminary concern to whether the Detroit Tigers can catch the Cleveland Indians in the Central Division. It's of ultimate concern is life meaningful or absurd? Hmm. Does life make sense or it does not make sense? I always think that's the most fundamental faith conviction that Tillich would champion. That the question is life absurd or does it make sense? And you can make a whole lot of arguments for absurdity, you know, wars, poverty, starvation, gang violence, school shootings, you know, you can do so many things. You know, it takes a leap of faith to be able to say, no, despite that, I think life makes sense.
Let me highlight another one for you that caught my attention, a quote from Tillich. The universe is God's sanctuary. Every work day is a day of the Lord. Every supper is a Lord's supper.
Yeah, it's great. It's very in line with my own Ronerian sense, what Karl Rahner teaches, that there's meaning in ordinary life. And that was where Tillich would take us as well. We have to find, the Thanksgiving meal is an event of grace, a grace time for a family, you know. And to read the first part of the quote, read the whole thing again.
The universe is God's sanctuary.
Yeah, let's stay with the universe. Yeah. The whole world is filled with Gerard Manley, the world is charged with the grandeur of God. That's Gerard Manley Hopkins, Jesuit. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. God's Spirit is at work in the whole world. Next part of the quote.
Every workday is a day of the Lord.
Yeah, so important to be able to consecrate our work and to see our jobs as part of God's activity to continue creation in the world, to thank God for our gods, if they're meaningful, that make us feel like we're accomplishing. Thank God for jobs that put bread on the table, enable me to feed my children, and so on. But that ordinary, it's like Teilhard de Chassin, find God on the tip of the needle, you know, the sewing and so on, the tip of the pen, writing and so on. So the great theologians, Teilhard de Chardin, Karl Rahner, Paul Tillich of the 20th century that have always influenced me or that I like to quote, sees the holiness of everyday life, both in our home setting, in the work setting, and in the universe as a whole.
And then the last one is, every supper is a Lord's supper.
Yeah, yeah.
Sustenance, every breaking of the bread.
Yeah, right.
Is there any other concluding thoughts on Paul Tillich?
Yeah, I mean, he's not so popular today. people feel in many ways that his work is too overly organized, that it that his whole method of correlation is faulty. But I mean, he did have dialogue with culture. He interacted with Carl Jung, and who's very influential. And the same idea, Jung thought that Freud thought the great problem of life was sexual. Jung thought the great problem of life was finding meaning. So there's a great correlation between Carl Jung, psychotherapist who broke with Freud, and Paul Tillich. And yet he thought that Jung was too narrow yet, that he didn't understand enough the notion of God as ultimate concern. Let me throw in something else. The change of metaphor, let me bring that together. So Tillich, commonly Christian things, well, God is up there. I have to lift my heart and mind to God. I have to go up, we'll go up to heaven. And so he changed the fundamental metaphor to depth. So he saw God as the ground of being. He saw God at work in the family meal. And he thought the way we find God is by going not up, looking up to the sky. Remember, the Bible says to Jesus' ascension, why are you standing looking up over the sky? Tillich liked that. Instead, is to find God by going deeper within, being more conscious of my own inner feelings, my own inner struggles, by seeing how the world is, the good people are combining to try to get things done in the world. Churches are combining with secular organizations to help feed the poor. Go deeper.
Go deeper.
Yeah, and so that would be something to take away. Spend a little more time in looking within. And if you go deep enough, you'll find God.
That's a great insight to end on. Father Basic, thank you for this great conversation about Paul Tillich.